welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, you know, last week against Battle, I thought it was a good overall effort for all three phases of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly agree with that. A punt return for a touchdown. I was trying to remember the last time we had a punt return for a touchdown. And that was just a tremendous individual effort by Alex Marbury. And we actually had the punt block on. And so we really didn't even have any blocking other than pick up somebody from the opposite color jersey. And he just made it happen. And I thought overall, we certainly won that phase, and it provided a spark when we needed it. And I thought defense played fantastic. I think they had 42 carries for about 70 yards. Offense played really well in the second or the first half. The second half we sputtered a bit, but going up and playing Columbia Battle with the tradition and athletes that they have and coming away with a 41-0 victory, we were really happy with that.
Now you step out of conference and heading to St. Louis for Cardinal Ritter in what may be the premier game in the state this weekend.
Well, I would say they're thought of by many as the best team in the state. Yeah. The power rankings. And if you're gonna believe the power rankings, and we know what we see on tape, and what we see on tape is a tremendously athletic football team with speed all over the place. But there are certain things you just can't simulate. I mean, we can line up in their formations and line up in their defense, and we can run the plays, but we don't have any guys that run 4-4 or 4-3 to simulate that speed. So that's what you're always kind of, I won't say worried about, but we need to adjust quickly to the speed because speed shock is real. And angles and leverage and where do I need to be to cover this route or where do I need to be to run the alley when this guy has the ball. Those things are real things with teams with that kind of speed. And, I think if we play great team defense and we run to the football like we did in the first half of the football game last year, I mean, it was 7-7 at halftime. I thought we played, really very good defensively last year that kept us in it. We had, some offensive miscues. We did put one good drive together last year, but, it was 7-7 at half, and really going late into the third quarter, it was 20-14. It was a one-score game, and, it got away from us. And that's something we preached all week is finish it. I mean, we were right there last year with this team, and they were a state champion team, and, we just did not finish the way we needed to finish to win a ball game like that.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, just looking at the score last week, 41-0 at Battle, a victory for the Crusaders. Was that a perfect game, or was the score just perfect?
Score was perfect. Yeah, okay. It wasn't a perfect game. Okay. First time they had the ball, drove the field to score, which frankly was their best drive of the night. But then you went and looked. They scored, six touchdowns, two rushing offense, two passing offense, a punt return, and an interception. So they scored in all phases of the game, which was good. The offense kind of struggled a little bit in the second half, didn't get a whole lot going, but I don't think it was anything to really be all that concerned about. The one thing they did want was the shutout, and it was they had their twos and threes in on the last drive, and there was a little bit of a celebration when they stopped them and the clock ran out.
Okay.
But they were all happy to get the shutout.
Yeah. So is that just one of those things where you go, okay, that maybe inconsistency in some of the phases, is that just something that you can attribute to Battle? Is that something you can attribute to maybe looking forward to this week's game? Or is it just one of those things that sometimes that stuff just happens?
It's one of those things that was 41-0.
Yeah.
Right. It just happens. They can't play perfect every week. You would certainly hope so, but it's not going to happen. They played so well offensively the first 2 weeks. They were kind of maybe due for, and this wasn't even a stinker, it was just not up to the standard they'd had the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
And defensively they played very, very well. Special teams were great. It was just one of those games that 41-0, about what should have happened, and you kind of move on.
Okay. So the end result is now the Crusaders move to 3-0. They're 2-0 in the conference. Going to step out of conference for a week this week. We're going to Ritter tonight at 7 o'clock.
Hey, we're going? Cool.
Yes, we are. No, I've got work to do. I'll be in the office. So, you'll be on the road enjoying the road trip to St. Louis. So it's a pair of 3-0 teams tonight that'll be meeting up, although it's kind of a Ritter team that the 3-0's kind of got a... I'm not going to say it's fishy. It's just got a weird look to it. That when you look at the schedule and you go, okay, there's a score, and then there's a forfeit win, and then there's a forfeit win.
Yeah, it's been kind of unique. They opened the year with a 52-6 win.
52-6
against McClure. And then week two, they were supposed to play Vachon. Well, there was an incident at school that day at Vachon, the day of the game, so they forfeited that. And then last Friday, they were supposed to play Duchenne in a conference game, and Duchenne forfeited out because of COVID reasons, citing COVID reasons. So, you know, they're 3-0 with Cardinal Mischa, two forfeit victories. Now, Cardinal Ritter did play what Mischa's calling an exhibition game against United. Wait, not United.
Yeah, University Academy Charter
out of Kansas City.
Right.
And they beat them 73-0. And as near as I can tell, there's no tape, no stats, no nothing, which is probably best.
Right.
You know, because it you know, they obviously had their way with them, and that was kind of an excuse. You know, I'm sure they didn't want to go 2 weeks without playing a game.
Sure.
And I'm sure somehow, you know, you get a team to drive all the way across the state to play you. You know, you're going to take that opportunity and do it. You know, that's one thing I asked Chris about in the preview that's in today's paper. You know, you saw them the first week on film, but you got nothing out of week two.
Right.
And then you've got some team you probably know nothing about playing in week three. Do you really think you know enough? Have you gotten a good chance to look at them?
Right.
Well, and he just gave me that, Tom. you know, he basically said, look, the opponents they've been playing, they weren't going to show a whole lot anyway playing any of those three teams they were supposed to play.
Sure.
You know, and plus, he said we've gone back, we watched last year's film against them. We had other films that we've had from last year that we saved that we went. So we have an idea of what they're going to try to do. They obviously, you know, they were obviously very, very, very vanilla the first game against McClure. And so, you know, he doesn't think that they're going to be able to sneak anything on them.
So that's my next question is, okay, so we think we know that they're good.
What
makes them good?
They have a lot of D1 players,
right?
You know, and they've got anywhere, depending on who you talk to, anywhere from 10 to 12 Division I recruits on that team.
Okay.
And a lot of them, a lot of the really good ones that we know are D1 recruits are juniors.
Okay.
So this is a team that's going to be good not only this year, but next year. And they were good last year. You know, they won the Class 3 state title.
I was going to say, is there a lot of carryover? Are there some of those players that did Hellas get to see them last year?
They saw some of them.
Okay.
They haven't seen all of them.
Okay.
If you catch what I'm laying down.
Okay. I think I do.
So, you know, it's a really, really talented, a group of talented players.
Okay.
That Chris said, you know, we've got to be ready for speed shock.
Okay.
He said, that's a real thing. You know, they got through it. You know, Battle has some quick kids. They got through it pretty easily last week. But this is a whole different thing when you've got 4-3 and 4-4 kids in the 40, multiple ones out there.
Right.
So, you know, you have to try. How do you even design a defense to try to slow them down?
Right.
That's the question.
So I'm going to ask you the question. How do you design the defense to slow or stop them?
Well, thank you, Tony. I'll see if I can answer this best I can. Look back to week one. Helias did a really good job of slowing down Aeneas Williams,
mm-hmm.
a D1 recruit, one of the best recruits in the state this year. What you're looking at tonight is going to be, but you've got Aeneas, but you've got two or three other ones.
Right.
So it's not just focusing on one kid.
Okay.
You know, I think Helias, the last 2 years against Aeneas, said, you're not going to beat us. If the other 10 guys on offense beat us, great.
Okay.
But you're not going to be the one to do it.
Right.
You're not going to have that option tonight, I don't think, because they've got speed in the backfield. They've got an Arkansas a verbal commit. He's only a junior. They've got a 4-3 kid at receiver. Let me give you a hint, Tony. Helias doesn't have a 4-3 kid. Yeah, I have a 4-3 kid in the 20-yard dash.
Right.
That'd be a joke they would make. But,
right.
You know, so they've got... what do you do? You can't be shocked by that speed. It's going to come down to technique. And you have, you know, they've got a defense that they think is going to be able to slow them down. Not stop them, slow them down. They know Cardinal Rivers is going to score. Mm-hmm. But the idea is going to be make it as difficult for them to score as possible.
Okay.
And that means all 11 guys on defense have a role, and they have to do their roles correctly.
Right. So then on the flip side, if you think that maybe you can keep it to the point where maybe they don't get into the 40s like they did last year in a win against Elias, maybe if you can kind of keep them in the low 30s or something, is there the ability for the Elias offense then against the Ritter defense to score to the point where you can make it a close game or to make it something where it, you know, you might a play here, a play there, have a chance to win this one?
You know, the first couple weeks, you know, the Elias offense showed that it can score.
Okay.
Now, it's... Tonight, it's going to be difficult for them to get big plays because you may be past, you know, you may get a deep throw and you're behind them and catch it, but they're likely going to catch you before you
right.
score.
Sure.
And I don't know that that's going to happen a lot tonight. I think one thing to maybe watch is Elias is probably going to have to try just control the football.
Okay.
You know, be happy with 3, 4, or 5 yard gains. Be happy just to move the chains.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy to try to keep the ball away from their offense. Maybe frustrate their defense, frustrate their offense because it's not getting out on the field.
Okay.
Make them feel like they have to do too much. You know, you put together some 10, 12 play scoring drives. You do that in the first half. You know, you could be up 14-7 or something, or not 7 because they don't kick, but 14-6 or whatever.
Okay.
Into halftime. You know, last year it was 7-7 at half.
Right.
You know, and who thought, at the time, I didn't think that happened because they were both pretty good offenses.
Mm-hmm.
So the defenses did a little something last year. It's a question of can they do that again?
Okay. Obviously, in a game like this where you're going to need to counter their very good people all over the field, you want to have your best. So I guess the question is for you is, does Elias have their full complement and do they have the best of their best to go into the game where you want to have everybody on, you know, that you need to have?
Okay, the Trey Rice injured against Hannibal, still out, looking good to come back for districts.
Okay.
Everything's going progressing there. Owen Geip, the deep snapper, was supposed to be out maybe 2 to 3 weeks. He will be back this week.
Okay.
So that's a plus. And they're also getting Chase Weisskarber, who is a transfer from Osage, a lineman, 6'5", 280. He was approved by Misha this week on his like second appeal for varsity athletics. That is big for their offense. He will immediately jump in the starting lineup at left tackle and play a little bit on defense. He's been with them all summer and been through preseason. And he was eligible to play JV, not varsity.
Okay.
So he's played a couple games. He played in the Jamboree. So he's had contact. He should be ready to go.
Okay.
And so that's big. And one thing Chris stressed to me, he said, you know, yes, we're happy to have him as a player, but we're happy for the young man. You know, he just wants to play football. He's getting a chance to play football, which he's a potential D1 recruit.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch him play because he's energetic on the sideline.
Okay.
Like, I will say that, just you know, from the Jamboree and being around him at practice, I think it'll be fun to watch him play.
Okay. Well, I guess that gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you who comes out on top tonight.
I don't know what Trevor picked.
Trevor doesn't remember any of his picks.
Yeah,
so
I know.
If you was listening to his now Lincoln podcast, his Jefferson City podcast, he doesn't know what he's picked. So I wouldn't put any faith in him picking it right one way or the other.
I think Elias doesn't want the game to get in the 30s.
Okay.
Because that means they are going to that the pace has probably gotten away from them.
Okay.
So can they design enough offense to grind out drives to score? You know, I think I'll get to a score in a minute. If it's like last year and it's 20-14 either way going into the fourth quarter, I think Elias has a really good chance to win because I don't think they're going to let Cardinal Ritter get away from them.
Okay.
Like they did last year. So I'm going to pick Cardinal Ritter to win, but I'm going to call it 30-28.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.